You're listening to Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings Podcast.
With the man, the myth, the legend.
The legend.
Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist.
Control Talk Now, the weekly podcast with building automation and smart building control news you can use.
Now, here's Eric.
Hi, welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings video cast and podcast for the week ending March 19th, 2016. My name is Eric Stromquist, and I am the host of the show that talks all things smart buildings and controls. But what is a host without a great co-host? And I've got the best in the business. Please welcome to the show my co-host, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers, the man, the myth, the legend from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with a little bit of a wounded wing. Kenny, welcome to the show, big dog.
Thank you, Eric. Good. You lifted my spirits because I'm a hurting cowboy. I got my right distep tendon reattached from my bicep to my ulna. The tendon comes into two and they glue it underneath. But when they went into the original problem, they found two other problems. So I actually had two more. Had some screws put in to strengthen the top bicep tendon, and then it's just a mess and it hurts. And ladies and gentlemen,
it's such an injury that we will not put it on camera. But suffice it to say, the man, the myth, the legend is a hurting puppy today. And all we have to say is you should see the other guys because they're in worse shape than the man, the myth, the legend. And that's what happens when you say bad things about building automation controls. The man, the myth, the legend, you got to answer to him, and he's willing to sacrifice a bicep or two. Straighten things out.
Now, I'll tell you, the other guy is a doctor, Dr. Liefeld, and you know, he did a great job. He's a specialist in that. And he told me that most of those detached bicep tendons occur with people in the airline industry, the people that have to take these heavy bags off of the cargo stands, and they drop, you know, 30, 40 pounds, and it snaps their bicep tendons out right and left. And I guess he does a lot of athletics pitchers, weightlifters, bodybuilders. So it's pretty common. I didn't realize it, but I'll tell you, it's a hurtful little thing. Care of your biceps.
Got to take care of your biceps. Got to take care of it all. So, well, hey, buddy, I tell you what, we got one guest this week, and we're going to maybe keep the show a little bit on the short and sweet side. So what do you say we get down to it, buddy?
All right, Nick, first up, we had the Honeywell eLearning, the next RedLink tool, and this is a great free live product demo. It's about learning solutions to HVAC, and installers have been asking this for a long time. The Honeywell Equipment Remote Module, the ERM, is designed for use wherever it's too costly or too time-consuming to run wires from a condensing unit or boiler to control devices. The ERM eliminates wiring needs and assists in the connections of hard-to-access pieces of equipment, making it ideal for most installations. And it was a great little training seminar, and we had a questionnaire at the end if whether or not we had posted the was this recorded, or is there any way to get the audio and or slides if I missed the training? And I think we do have a link there, and you'll have to sign on to the Honeywell website. But that was a great post. Yeah. You put that up.
Well, it was, and Honeywell actually did the webinar. And I tell you what, I love the fact that our industry is really adopting these technologies. I know we were on the Skype a little bit earlier with our friend Samir Prada that does Control Trends India, and you know, that's other places in the world don't necessarily, you know, have access to this great training. So we really applaud Honeywell for their e-learning university. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, so if somebody from Honeywell is listening, yeah, we'd love to get the link out to the recorded sessions. I'm pretty sure they have those archived. I know others do that, but great training. And of course, the RedLink thermostat, Kenny, what can you say about that? Probably one of the greatest light commercial solutions there is out there. I think it's very prevalent in the residential space, but also, Kenny, can be used for light commercial because, if I'm not mistaken, there's a driver that actually works with that where you can pull those in to a Jace. So it could sort of become a hopping off point for you, if you will, if you want to put some thermostats in and enjoy the benefits of, you know, thermostat strategies, which, by the way, I mean, if you think about it, Honeywell has been doing this for many, many years, and their thermostats, bar none, Nest, don't compare, right?
We will never let Nest rest easy, huh?
The Nest Rest Easy. Yeah, I tell you what. Remember I had those in my old house. If you go back on Control Trends, you can actually see where I actually did an installation of the Nest thermostat. So I will say they are very easy to install. But I tell you what, Kenny, one or two things. Either that thing does not control well, or Tony Fadell or whatever, the guy that developed a Nest thermostat, didn't like me because, you know, you talk about cybersecurity. Man, it was always heating when it was air conditioning and cooling when it was heat. But now that I think about that, maybe I had those wired backwards. It could be me or it could be them. So, but what we can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you're not sure, you can't go wrong with the Honeywell RedLink. So again, guys, thanks a lot for that great e-learning video. Keep them coming.
And speaking of e-learning videos, we got a couple more coming up right here on this week's post. We have J2 Innovations brings equipment and points from Niagara into the Finstack. This week's video focuses on just how quick and easy it is to bring data from a Niagara station into your Finstack server. The video starts off by demonstrating how to connect Niagara to the Finstack using the NHaystack service, which is Niagara, and the Haystack connection, which is the Finstack. But Scott mentioned, and Fin2 and J2 Innovations, Finstack, have really pumped it up. These guys are really going to take the social media aspects of the IoT of things and take them to heart and begin a video series. They've already had quite a few of them. If you go onto the website, they have over 50 training sessions, continuing education, they have 18 entries. So the Finstack videos is going to become a staple at J2 Innovations, and they really and truly think that there's going to be a big payoff.
Well, again, and I think those guys, first of all, hats off to Captain Scott Minch. And Kenny, why do we call him Captain Scott Minch? What is he? One of the world's best drone masters, right? So he's a drone guy. But, you know, Scott is and J2 are tackling this whole education problem. We mentioned e-learning earlier, but Scott's come up with a concept called Night School. And we might even help him where we do some live streaming. Because, you know, the thing that's cool about that is you can get your questions answered. It can be archived. You can see it at a later date. And J2, being in the graphics business, their stuff not only works well, it looks good.
Yep. Congratulations to their continued success with Siemens, with KMC. With KMC Controls,
yeah,
and now with the EZIO, EZStack. So it's the concept is spreading.
Well, I think it is, and then you got really enlightened sort of systems integrators like Ted Houck and Jason Houck with Hepta Systems, who won the co-winners of the Control Trends Systems Integrator of the Year, who really work with that product a lot and have done great things. I think they're, you know, really getting into data centers now. And so it's cool stuff. And speaking of Ted and Jason, they actually have a panel shop that they've developed. It's the Panel Shop, panelshoppe.com. And these guys, you know, being systems integrators, they have people on staff, but they do UL panels where they'll actually drop JSONs in them for you. You can either send them to them or, you know, they'll provide the JSONs for you. But, I think that's a trend we're going to see more and more of, Kenny, is outsourcing labor-intensive things or maybe engineering-intensive things to keep your installation costs down. But we work with them a little bit on the panels. Good stuff from those guys. So check those guys out, thepanelshop.com.
All right. Next up, we have a new white paper and eZine magazine from Project Haystack. We first featured this last week when we did Ken St. Clair's automated building release for March, which Therese Sullivan was the author editor of the eZine, first eZine release for Project Haystack. But we got another official press release coming out of Richmond, Virginia, where the Project Haystack organization, a collaborative open source community addressing the challenges of utilizing tagging and semantic modeling to streamline the interchange of data among smart devices and smart applications, today announced again two new publications supporting the organization's work. The first, Project Haystack white paper, and then the second is the inaugural issue of Haystack Connections, the new Project Haystack EZ. So congratulations to Project Haystack and all the hard work and folks there, John Petsy, Mark Petock, Therese Sullivan, and just a few more, Richard McElhaney from down under, and just got a great great staff, and they just keep putting it out. Well done.
Kenny, am I the only one who has trouble saying e-zine? That just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, online magazine works for me, but e-zine, man, it sounds like something you ought to put in your eyes, huh?
I think I do. Don't we? Don't we put the e-zine
Visine, Visine, right? But I tell you what, we got to talk about that, man, because that just does not sound right. The e-zine, man, or it's like a laxative or something like that. Therese, you got to change that, man. That terminology just does not work. You know, but
no, just you're showing our age, Eric. So we probably should back out of that one while we got a chance, because it's going to stick, and our preferences are not going to stick. So hey.
Well, I don't know about that. They might. But Therese Sullivan, we have her on the show a lot. We call her our eyes and ears in Silicon Valley. She does a great job with that. So her media stuff is bar none. Buildingcontext.me. Check her out. And again, good stuff from Project Haystack, our friend Mark Petock, John Petsy, and the rest of the crew. So what can you say about that, buddy? What's up next?
Well, next up is one of my favorite items. We put our heart and souls into the 2015 Control Trends Awards, and we got to hear a lot of good things. Got a couple of improvements scheduled for next year, which is going to be held in Las Vegas, January 27th, the Sunday. Very similar to the venue and the schedule, the times and everything. So if you like last year, this year is going to be on the same likable lines, because it's going to be very accessible. It's going to be at the Hard Rock Cafe in Las Vegas. But what we have next up, Eric, is one of, like I say, this is the fruit of our labors, the Control Trends Awards red carpet interviews. And you did a sensational job of both bringing people, different sides of people, because, you know, everybody's kind of quiet and gun-shy in front of the camera and lights. But, these are the heroes and superstars of our industry, and it's so much fun to see how it was set up, all the people that walked by. But you had maybe like 6-8 people there, a lot of the VIPs, you know, the people behind the lines, starting with the marketing directors from Allerton. We had just one VIP after another, and it was so fun to see John Donahue up there, CIC Control Consultants, Inc. up there with his son, the very proud organization where he started from very humble origins and developed, just a major corporation, and it's just a great success story. But again, these are all HVAC related heroes and superstars that, provide us with the services that we take for granted. Pushing air and water through a building, as Scotty Cochran said, is not as easy as it looks. And so just a wonderful video. I've watched it several times, and I'm looking forward to doing the next one.
Well, I tell you what, buddy, the only downside to me is that the audio wasn't that great. I was a little spiky on the audio, so I apologize about that. But yeah, it was something else. You know, I mean, that's our big day with everybody out on the red carpet. And I think our industry, man, we clean up really, really well. And, we have people like Amy Doran from Allerton, first time sponsor. Yeah, John and James Donahue from Controls Consultant, Scotty Cochran, the rest of the crew. But it's a great time, and it's kind of fun to ham it up. We all get dressed up, we clean up, we do our Hollywood moment, which again will be happening again next year in Las Vegas. We got the Hard Rock venue in Las Vegas book, like Kenny said, so we're excited about that. But Kenny, at this time, I mean, we say it ad nauseum, but I don't think it can be said enough. I mean, a very, very special thanks to our sponsors, because without those companies coming on and sponsoring the Control Trends Awards, I mean, they just wouldn't happen. You want to know who the sponsors are? Again, just go to the side of Control Trends. You can see them. There are links there. We encourage you, check these companies out. I mean, because they're the best of the best on the planet. So great stuff there, buddy. And
it was a lot of fun, too. It actually was a lot of fun. It was. You can see, you can tell in the video that that everybody really enjoyed the networking. A lot of those old timers that have been there in the business 30, 40 years, worked for different companies, have been in and out of on both sides of the equation, whether they were the buyer, the seller, product manager, project integrator, or systems integrator. So you've seen all kinds of the top folks in our industry just having a night out and having a lot of fun. So yeah, good capture.
Right. Well, that's Chris Lane there on screen right now from Johnson Controls. He's one of the greats. He's won several Control Trends Awards over the years. So love Chris. And Kenny, so I tell you what, let's move it on. What did we have next, Big Dog?
Well, next up we go out to California to Silicon Valley, where we have Smart Building Silicon Valley delivers data-driven office space. And, I'm going to let you take over the reins of this post, because I'll just start the paragraph. Josh Bradshaw is worth paying to. Josh is a technology enthusiast and visionary. He coined the phrase, don't work for technology, make technology work for you. He's got a great website at worktechwork.com. Just to get ideas how broad his coverage of technology is. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it? I know it has to do with the RealCom IBCom conference and Josh's visit to that event.
Well, actually, I think what it was Josh again reached out to us. So Josh will be on the show either next week or the week after. So we're looking forward to introducing him to our Control Trends audience. But Kenny, just an awesome dude. So a lot of energy. But Josh is a technology enthusiast, if you will, technology expert. I mean, his site Work Tech Work. They sort of explore different aspects of technology from all kinds of different domains, if you will. And, so Josh basically co-hosted and co-chaired in Silicon Valley a conference on smart buildings and had our good friend Jim Young there, got involved, and people from Compy. So it was a great group of people talking to the Silicon executives about what's going on with smart buildings and smart buildings technology. So I think it's interesting. I think Therese Sullivan's commented on this in the past too, that Silicon Valley really has not got that involved with smart buildings yet. But I think they're going to. So great stuff from Josh. Encourage you to watch this. This is a video of that symposium, if you will. So with Jim Young sort of chairing it, and you get to hear from a lot of really cool people. Kenny Smyers, tell us about our first guest.
I'd love to, Eric. Our first guest is Chris Schneider from Down Under. He's the general manager of OpenBMCS. Chris is he was a young gun. He's a lot of fun. He's from a family business. He went to IT school, learned a lot more about computers and about programming, came back and said, there's just too many gaping holes in the connectivity and integration in the building management world. And he was set out to do something to fix that, make it easier to integrate. And he's done it with his OpenBMCS. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Welcome to the show, buddy. How you been?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. We have been busy putting together our new videos for the OpenBMCS software package. I'm sitting here in our studios just wrapping them up.
How's the weather down there?
Well, as you can see, it's not looking too bad outside. Clear skies, and the temperature is a comfortable 28 degrees or 82 degrees Fahrenheit. It'll be like this for the next few months.
That's all good. I'm jealous a little bit. So how are the video projects that you're working going?
Not too bad. We're hoping to have our first three videos out on the 25th of March. There'll be a how-to guide on installing the system, adding a new controller, and a review of our alarms package.
Can you give us kind of a quick overview of the package, the whole package?
I would love to. OpenBMCS is a fully web-based building automations head-end. It has been developed to allow you to manage your Sedona controllers. This is one software package which manages everything about your Sedona site. It does the graphics front-end, programming, alarming, trending, and control management. It's all loaded on a device we call a mini server. This is basically a fully secured web server. Once the software is loaded, you simply access it through a web browser. We recommend Google Chrome, as it is the most HTML5 compliant browser, and we do the bulk of our testing on it. The great thing is you can use Chrome from an Apple, Linux, or Windows-based computer.
What about mobile apps, Chris?
Because it's 100% HTML5, it just works on a mobile phone. So now when you're off-site, you can quickly look at issues on your mobile phone. I wouldn't recommend trying to modify programming, though. The screen's a little bit too small for that.
Wow, Chris, that is really good stuff. So in addition to these great features and benefits coming out, is there anything new at OpenBMCS that you're doing and you want to share with the Control Trends community?
We just launched two new modules, which can be added via our website. The first is tenant billing. It's written to do quite complex billing configurations, but should be relatively easy to set up. We're also open to adding additional functionality if people need it within the module. The second module is a maintenance log. This is really simple. It replaces the book of problems everyone keeps on site between contractors and building managers. And it makes it digital. Nothing too complex, but it's great for large facilities.
Okay, Chris, so good stuff. Sounds like you guys got a lot of good stuff going on down there, down under. So, as always, Chris, how do people get a hold of you?
Either via our website at openbmcs.com or my email address, cschneider@openbmcs.com.
Awesome, Chris, man. Thanks for taking some time to be with us today. It's Chris Snyder, OpenBMCS.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for having me on your program, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. Kenny, that was great stuff from Chris Snyder down under, man. I tell you what, love it. Control trends around the world. Him and Richard McElhaney, big contributors from down under. We got quite a viewership down there. So good day to all of our our fans and viewers in down under. We appreciate you guys and in New Zealand as well. So, all right, Kenny.
Well, now we got to travel.
We got to travel there, buddy.
We'll keep that globe spinning. We've got next up, we have episode 3, Mike Marston's BIS Control Pup Talk with Brian Anderson from, my goodness, we're in Asia now. We're in Thailand, in fact. This is a great post. I'm going to let you take over on this one as well, because Brian Anderson from Comtect Asia is just an incredibly experienced individual. It goes all the way back, as you say, what did Jimi Hendrix, Mad Mike Marston, and Saving Energy have to do with Common? Well, the common denominator is Brian Anderson from Comtect Asia. Tell us about Brian.
Well, all you need to know about Brian is that if you really want to be a young gun for the rest of your life, you need to spend 20 years doing sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Because Brian was around in the 60s. He was a drummer with a bunch of bands in England. Think Austin Powers. Yeah, baby. Brian was in that scene. So he got started there. He was a drummer, knew people like Mitch Mitchell from the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Jimi Hendrix, he actually took drumming lessons from Jim Marshall, who's the guy that developed the Marshall amplifiers that you see everywhere. So he was right in the thick of things in the 60s, Kenny. So I tell you what a fascinating individual. I guess some point in time he actually talked about meeting his wife. He was at a bar, met his wife. He was hanging out with the drummer from Deep Purple. You know, dun, 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 dun. One of my favorite bands from way back when. And, you know, moved to Australia. I think that's where he met Mad Mike down there. Mike was a pup when this puts things in perspective. Because if you look at the video, Mike and Brian don't look like they're that far apart in age. But when Mike was Brian was doing all this stuff in the 60s back in swinging London, Mike Marston was just being born. So apparently Mike was born in 1961, but look what the effects of the 60s had on Brian Anderson. He's a young pup. He's a young gun. Matter of fact, I think we'll probably induct him into our young guns next year. Another example, like Ken Sinclair, that just proves that young guns, it's not about an age. It's more about an attitude. And I think you got to have both. Because we all know young people that act old, and we all know old people that act young. So, but Brian Anderson, what a cool guy. Met Mad Mike. Then he eventually moved to Thailand, where, you know, he got involved with building automation controls. Mad Mike used to come hang out with him in Thailand back in the day when he was a bachelor. And I guess Mike wound up meeting a lot of women through Brian, and they drinking in a lot of pubs. So Mike eventually made Thailand home, or so the story goes, got married over there. So he and Brian are both settled down now. Right. Like, that's not really happening. All you got to do is watch the video to see these guys. Brian's drinking a beer for breakfast. Got to love that guy. So it's a great video. Another great episode of Control Pub Talk with Mad Mike Marston. They do get around to talking about some controls in between the beer and the chicks. So great seeing it. Mike, we love those episodes. Keep them coming. That's Mike Marston from EZIO. And, you know, Kenny, I mean, what can you say about EZIO, man? I mean, we've been to world conferences with those guys. Talk a bit about EZIO and Mad Mike.
Well, I'd love to. In fact, we just had some correspondence with Mike this weekend. Well, a couple things that happened. Business-wise, the FG32-plus controller and the FG20-plus controller are both BTL certified, fully certified, 100% certified. So this is a big day, or they've actually been there for a while, but it's on the website. So that, it's when you have an international certification and you're selling the EZIO controllers, like these guys are selling like toilet paper all over the world, it gets to become a very interesting story. They were recently in India, They were just I talked to Mike right before he went to ISH show in Frankfurt, which was that past week. And now I know Mike is on the move again because he sent us an email saying about some of the locations that they have in mind for the 2016 and 17 global partnership meeting. And I don't want to disclose anything prematurely, but it's just it's global. You know, the footprint's global. So, I mean, it's one of the guys that really truly travels around the globe on a calendar basis to keep all his partners updated. And they do a great job. I know we just had another very successful project put in. And, you know, happy customers, repeat customers. So, well done, Mike and EZIO.
Well, I think it is well done. And I encourage our audience, plan now. Whatever the location is, the thing I can tell you about EZIO, this global conference, is it is well done. These guys roll all the stops out. I remember last year in Paris, they took us to the Lido. They do things top hat. Great locations. It's probably the only thing you can do where you can take your wife and family for a European vacation, you know, learn great stuff with the EZIO technology, sort of hobnob, get ideas from people around the world, integrators around the world. And Kenny, that's one of the things that sort of impresses me the most about this is you really realize how similar all the integrators and control people are around the world. There's just not that much difference, although there are nuances. So, it's just an incredible conference.
Well, our common currency and our common denominator is buildings, you know, so I really get a kick out of that.
It's beer, Kenny, it's beer. Remember what Mad Mike said, it's not buildings, it's beer.
Okay, beer in buildings.
Beer in buildings, there you go. So,
but you're right. I think that too, as you learn so much just here to come out of somebody, you know, so many different ways to learn things and to hear things earnestly. But when you talk about people that put thousands of controllers in, and then you hear their concerns and you hear, you know, some of the evolution of a controller and how it just constantly dealt with any issues that came up were dealt with quickly. And that has to do with a lot of technical support, you know, 24/7, because the way the calendars and clocks work is that when we're sleeping, people are solving our problems. We wake up many times to the solution being emailed to us. So they do a great job on that. But it's an ongoing cycle, and EZIO helps sets the calendar year for us because we look forward to their annual global partnership meeting that normally happens in the latter part of spring. So, and speaking of memberships and summits and things coming up, what about Tritium's coming up there?
Tritium's going to be fantastic, New Orleans. Kenny and I'll be there as well as guys like Mad Mike Marson. So that's the other place you just have to be. I mean, everybody's there. So we'll see you in New Orleans on that. But I want to cycle back around to EZIO a little bit more, Kenny. They're a unique company. I mean, like, and I almost think of them as being a niche player, right? This beast from the East is a controller that, you know, fits into what we call the race to the small space. It gives you, you know, top tier Ferrari type performance in a very price affordable frame, if you will. So, sure. You know, a lot of people use this to do sort of complicated applications as part of a bigger system. They might include it with a link spring or a KMC or a Honeywell or a Johnson control for that sort of special part of the application, maybe a plant controller. A lot of people use them as standalone. They're fantastic for the small retail space because you can get all the data. And the fact that they've got FinStack built into it now, you get the best of the analytics in it as well. And then the big application, Kenny, the big application, and I have a challenge for our control trends community here. The big application for this that who would have thunk it is industrial. So Mad Mike and the boys are finding out that more than industrial people are embracing this controller. I mean, we saw them in Colorado Springs at the Haystack Summit. They were talking about how they're using it to control breweries. So I have a question for our control trends community that we'd love to hear this. And if you got it, we got a special prize for you. Okay, so I want to know your best industrial EZIO application, okay? And what I want to know about that, a description, maybe get you to come on Control Trends to talk about it. And if you've got one of those, everybody that comes up with one, we'll limit this to five. Each of you will get two tickets to the 2016 Control Trends Awards in Las Vegas, and you'll get to sit at Mad Mike and Lim's table. How about that? So I think we just got to bring awareness to this product, Kenny. It does so much. And it fits with other things. It plays well with others, but at the same time, it's just a phenomenal standalone solution. What do you think?
Well, that's a very generous offer because I think we're going to get So, giving away tickets here.
So you're telling me that's coming out of my part, huh?
No, I didn't say that. I just said that we have a customer that's probably going to try to jump on that if he can get to Las Vegas. But no, you're right. And see, I think what's happening is that we have the opportunity, again, with the networking or whatever, to learn different applications and then to see other responses to it. I think just like some of the other manufacturers keep setting bars and keep setting the expectations from customer sets to certain levels, we're seeing it happen. We're seeing controllers, the benchmark for controllers, just going up and up and up. And we're seeing some of the IoT players that we have, like with Sierra Monitoring and temporary controls, because this technology and the form fit is getting smaller, and they can put more into the base load, the motherboards. We're going to see more and more incredible features and benefits being added to these boards. So, we've seen the second controller come out with the JS8000, of course, has the SD card now. So we're seeing that become the precedent. And the thing about the EZIO FG controllers is they keep pushing the envelope. They keep making things bigger, faster, and more open. And what happens is for people that need access, especially these emerging economies that need, the biggest bang for the buck, but they don't want to give away any of the technology. We're seeing that these manufacturers now reset their goals now to have these features in them, so that pretty soon the SD cards are going to be the norm. Pretty soon, dual processors are going to be the norm. Pretty soon, like N4 having the embedded workstation, having the embedded graphics, the embedded energy dashboard, these are going to be the norm. So we're seeing that. It's a very exciting time to be in the business because we're watching that firsthand. We're seeing it happen 8 years ago. When we talk about the previous to the show of what we've seen happen here, it's almost like being born in a certain time period, seeing the man on the moon.
The Renaissance, baby. We're in the Renaissance.
The Renaissance of controls. And we right. said that back at, in Paris.
At the EZIO conference,
things
in Paris.
Are changing. And I think, to a certain extent, a lot of that's marketing and fun talk. But in reality, these are the benchmark years where we shifted. Just a couple of years ago, we finally did sell open systems. Where before we wanted to say and make the claim that we sold open systems, but there were this, but here and however, comma, we had little things that we had to kind of work around. But now, if that is the end goal, because you had to sell solutions. So, people like Siemens now are offering, whatever you want, whatever the customer really truly needs to have, really wants, what's the customer satisfaction level is. If they want to have open and they want it, they specify it, and these manufacturers have got to bring that. And if they want to have more of a solution specialist, or more specialized solution so that they can make sure things are being done exactly how they're supposed to be done, the users are kind of dictating who's going to get the projects and the work. But as what we do for a living, we need to have our ears open and hear the entire playing field, what's going on, because otherwise they're going to do an end run on the two-step distribution, market channel, and then they're going to, we're going to have these big guys drop in from the sky. Your Telestars and your, IBMs and, your Dells.
All right, Kenny, too much gloom and doom, buddy. Too much gloom and doom. All right, so.
Gloom and doom.
That being said. So I got to tell you something, man. I don't know about you. Did you ever check that Comfy stuff out? Talking about Silicon Valley and all that. It's a great concept. We're talking about a product called Comfy.
That, essentially, I worked with Lindsay Baker directly on one of the panels out there in RealCom, IBCom. Yep.
Yeah, but it's using social media, which is another trend, Kenny, I've sort of tracked it, but she's sort of using social media to allow people the ability to say, I'm too hot, I'm comfy, I'm too cold, or whatever. It's a great, great concept, Kenny. Well,
there are three things. You have three choices on your iPhone. I need heat, I need cooling, I'm comfy. So, and what that does is it gives everybody the satisfaction of input. They don't feel like they're taking a placebo response. And then the realization is that they're saving a lot of fan cycling money or fan operation money, and they're getting higher ratings on people are saying, I really and truly enjoy the workspace. So I'm getting.
But here's where I'm going with this. And I'm sort of tangent off of the gloom and doom of the people dropping in, because I think Silicon Valley is trying to drop in. I think Comfy was trying to drop in. Okay. And the reality of the situation is, it's a great concept. It's a great idea. Now, we tried to quote one. It was kind of crazy because, if I understood correctly, what Comfy was telling me, we had to go in and we had to re-put sensors and all kinds of crazy stuff in. We had to put like a parallel or redundant system in even to make that thing work. It was very, expensive. Now, they might have changed that. I don't know. So I'm not saying don't check Comfy out. But here's my point with this, Kenny. You talk to people in our industry, they go, oh, we can do that. We can do that what we have, right? Meaning the technology's there. So what I'm inviting our community to consider is look at some of these people from Silicon Valley and the ideas are coming up, but then you need to incorporate those solutions into what you're already doing. You need to be able to go back into a building and say, hey, we could add this type module on your system because we know this works because companies like Comfy have got the data to show how much energy is being saved by giving people the choice with their iPhone. So our people can develop the iPhone apps, put them in, use existing systems. This is sort of, I think part of what we have to do is the times are changing. As we're in this renaissance that we're talking about, I think we have to think differently. And I think we have to build upon what we've already got. The advantage we have being in the industry, Kenny, is we've already got a base and an understanding. As Scott Cochran once said, at the end of the day, it's still about moving water and air through buildings. Those are core competencies that our people have, okay? The people coming from the outside in are trying to add other stuff that other information technology industries are using that are pretty much standard. They're trying to bring that to the party. So I think we have to really think in terms of bundling these solutions that our customers are going to be asking for to stay relevant. I think at the end of the day, we're in the Renaissance period, and your buzzword, if you're when the Renaissance of controls, is how do you stay relevant? That's all I have to say about that.
Well, that was a little bit gloom and doom, too. So it's the same thing I said. So if we don't stay relevant, then we're gonna expire. We're gonna become extinct. No, I
tell
you
what, buddy.
I thought you were coming off with Tree Sullivan's comment about Silicon Valley. So you come up with all these great ideas from Silicon Valley, but if it doesn't make a whole lot of money and real quick, it's not relevant. They go away. They disappear because they got a window of like 6 months, and if they don't get their first $1 zillion sale or get the percentage of the markets, then they dry up and go away. But I think the thing with Comfy is, like you said, it's really applying the contextualization. We were on that big. That was the top trend in 2014, was contextualization, where you walk into a store and because your iPhone gives away your identity and your location, it says, hey, Eric. Hey, we got this aftershave that you like from Brazil, and it talks to you because it knows who you are and it knows your profile and your habits. And now that you're in the proximity, it's going to start letting you know what the sales are or steer you. Okay, so what Comfy did for me the first time was it was the most accurate zoning system that you could possibly have because your iPhone became the sensor. It actually became the occupant's location inside of a building. So at any given time, you had 100% accuracy, unless the person didn't have an iPhone or a smartphone or smart device, of where people were, what zones were truly occupied, not. So you could obviously make adjustments to your system and what zones were open and closed based on this verifiable, or most accurate zoning, So they had some interesting ideas, but like you said, if it doesn't have a return on investment or it doesn't have a cost, break even point that makes sense, it's a great idea, but it's too excessively.
Right. Well, but my point being was it did not talk to your zoning system. So you already had a zoning system in there, which one of our integrators had in there. It didn't talk to it other than the fact that it told it to reset the set point. So if you could have integrated that with as part of a zoning system, in other words, that same thing, it would have been great. So I'm wondering if Comfy is cost prohibitive, but if we have listeners out there that have used it, be very interested in hearing about that. Don't want to be unfair to Comfy, but like I said, we tried to sell one. And it was like, whoa, that's crazy. Why would we do it that way? When our integrator was going, we already got this. We can do this with the exception of the app. But my point being, and we talked about with Ken Sinclair a little bit about it last week, this whole concept of mashing up. And I think mashing up is when you take different things that already exist and you put them together in a new way. I think that's another way you stay relevant in today's climate. So what can you mash up? I mean, look at Mike Marsh. We just talked about EZIO and their controller being used now for breweries and stuff like that. But I think that's, at the end of the day, you already have to have a product that's price competitive and quality to even be a part of the conversation. You have to have marketing. You have to be part of social media now to even be part of the conversation. But then I think the mashup is the next strategy.
I wouldn't disagree with that. It'll be 1,000 paths to get there. It'll be, because the market is so diversified and so stratified, you're going to just, I think for us, the race to the small space is one of the incredible trends that we track because, we know that, 85% of the buildings are underserviced out there and they're not the big buildings that everybody competes for, the big vertical integration stuff. It's the little stuff. And then, how much mashing you're going to do inside of a little facility or a smaller facility, 25, 30,000 feet and less. We're going to see a lot of the mashing being done at the controller level or the...
Yeah, look at KMC. They're a great example. Somebody's mashed a bunch of different technologies. Now, another way they did it was that, Richard Newberry went out and talked to Dell, got Dell involved. They got Intel involved. They got J2 involved. And then they're bypassing our friend the Jace with this, with their new system they're coming out with. So that's another great example of a company that I think really, whether they call it mashing or not, have mashed different technologies together to create a better mousetrap, maybe.
Sure, and same with EGIO and same with Tritium. I think Niagara 4 is a mashing concept. If you talk about mashing, you're talking about the Jace, Niagara 4 and Jace 8000 coming up. It's mashed all the things from analytics, the graphics, the energy dashboards. It's mashing everything, together, and it's putting it all into one single solution. And that's what I agree with. I agree that, at different levels, so the stratification would be like a EGIO controller, Jace controller, or KMC commander control system, I agree. And that's what I'm saying.
So all right.
The original concept we were talking about was what was Silicon Valley, what were their role here? I mean, they say a lot of good things. They have a lot of great technologies, but as they come in from the 30,000 foot level down into our industry, what do they really bring to the table? How do they make what we have already better other than make it, they're modified to their advantage, modified to their business model, which is.
Well, you got a great point, but see, I think the message for Silicon Valley is you better partner with somebody like KMC that's already in the game. Right. Because I think that's a model that's going to work. I think they're going to get a lot of market share through KMC being a partner with them. So I think part of the game is you can't do it on your own because to me, and again, I apologize, Compy is a great concept, but it's not sort of steeped in reality of being able to be workable. Now, if Compy had partnered with somebody like Honeywell or Johnson Controls or Linkspring or somebody like that, they would have put their feet right on the ground. It would have been integrated into a solution that's already proven. Right. So I just don't think you can walk the walk alone if you're Silicon Valley.
Well, I think we're kind of talking a couple of different things at the same time because they have a BAS agnostic approach. They can work with anybody's BAS, but it's like you said, at some point in time you have to take over some part of the equipment, and they have a gateway that interfaces with the existing BAS. But you know what? I think we hammered that one to death.
Well, Liz, I got two things to say, and then we'll move on. Okay, so. I think the analogy I would use is a little bit like my brother's definition of a consultant, okay? My brother's definition of a consultant is a guy that knows 9,999 different ways to make love to a woman but doesn't know any woman, right? So you sort of have to be steeped in reality. Now so I think we can end that part of the discussion, but I do have a question for you and our Control Trends community, which is, is it more fun to say the word mashable or mash? You can mash these things together. That's kind of fun to say, right? Versus saying easing, like we got an easing. So it just gets back to the point. Mash is a great word. Mashable is a great word. That's why that concept's sticky. I do not think the concept of easing is going to last long. Sorry. No more e-zines. Call it an online magazine if you want to. Call it an e-mag. I could even go for that. But e-zine... Give me a break. Who made that damn word up, Kenny?
Don't know, but it's been around.
It's not going to stick. No, it hasn't. I disagree. All right, listen. I'm not going to talk any more about
easing. We have one more post, and again, this is a good one. So we saved the best for last in this case. We have Hans Kranz, the fabled controls wizard from Landstuhl, Germany, was inducted to the Control Trends 2015 Hall of Fame. We have a great bio that's on that post. We have a great video. But, the story of Hans Kranz is amazing. He began his HVAC journey back at the age of 14 when he returned to a war-torn Germany. He helped rebuild the town he was from, and he really got involved at the really ground level. And then I don't want to read the whole bio to you, but I can tell you that it's worth the read because he goes from the very beginning to the very top. It's an incredible journey, but what I like is that we had a chance to meet with Hans, and he shared a lot of really, really incredible gee-whizzy folklore HVAC information with us that this guy goes back to the earliest days of DDC. He goes back to when Mike and I met for the first time. We had very similar computer DDC experiences. He's talking about Mike Newman, the gentleman we inducted last year. At the past, Mike and I was doing projects with Honeywell, ITT, JCI, Pneumatic. I was the first in Europe with a leading project with a building programmable building automation, Delta 2000 from Honeywell in 1972. I built the Selectocode systems. But what was really cool was how we got some of our verbiage here. Like he was a consultant for IBM in 1975. Because the British always used the word building control and the Americans always used building automation, he had to come up with a solution. So he came up with building automation and control. So we're talking to the guy at the very beginning in 1975, had to deal with two sets of the same thing. And this leads into the whole story of integration into BACnet. So in 1983, after doing three protocols, IBM's JCI, IBM Honeywell, and IBM Landis and Gear Powers, I took the task to introduce one protocol, the IBM FACN. And that is really incredible. It was the blueprint for BACnet and had the idea for FND in Germany. And then he came to Atlanta. He spent time down there in Atlanta with you. I introduced my IBM colleague in the telephone department, Ken Oshman, the secrets of building automation that he then used a few years later at Echelon's LawnWorks. So when we talk about, you know, the guy we just inducted, Hans Kranz, and some of the things, and we tried to do what we set back a while ago, you know, is to remember, give permanent place and party and make, create a residence of these incredible people in our industry with the Hall of Fame and then the Control Trends Museum. I mean, we got ourselves a very, very an incredible inductee this year, and it's just a lot of fun. What he did on the stage with the trophy and then it showed the joy. But here was a guy that has 60 years in the HVAC business or industry, and you know, he's still given, he still belongs to whatever. He's recognized all over the world. Russia calls him, they give him the incredible name. He was given honorary American status by one of the gentlemen from GSA because he's just given so much, and he's just played such an instrumental role, an ongoing role of leadership, of direction. And it was for the benefit, you know, a lot of utilitarianism, the greatest good for the greatest number. So it was a great opportunity to introduce Hans Kranz to the Control Trends community and induct him to the Hall of Fame. And thanks again to Ken St. Clair, who did an awesome job.
Yeah, he sure did do an awesome job. And what a great guy Hans is. So it's great, Kenny. I mean, I think part of what we're trying to do with Control Trends is recognize these folks, make sure they have a place in history. And again, we talk about this a lot, and it'll eventually happen, and we'll have the Control Trends Museum where these videos will reside. So with that, Kenny Smyers, I will tell you one thing about Hans Kranz that you may or may not know, because I did ask him this on stage. Hans Kranz will never, ever, under any circumstances, use the term e-zine, okay? All right. So with that, buddy, I think we got to hop off here.
I'm ready for this one. Go ahead. I'm gonna pull my right arm into position.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, good, good, good. All right, hold it up because we can't really see it. You got to hold it up. Watch Kenny Grimm. Okay, all right. So there we have it. Another week on Control Talk now. Your smart buildings, video cast and podcast for the week ending March 19th, 2016. I am joined by the wonderful Payne. Well, hang on, I got to do this again. All right, he got me tickled, Kenny. Hold on. All right, so there you have another week of Control Talk Now, your smart buildings, video cast, and podcast for the week ending March 19th, 2016. A special thanks to our guest, Chris Snyder, and to the man, myth, the legend, who got out of bed with his painful right arm to be with all us today. Kenny, hope you get to feeling better. So with that, we'll leave you with have a great week, and remember, stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny. Could you move your hand over a little bit? You're out of frame. Okay, there you go. All right. Indeed. All right, cool. All right, now can you put your hands over your head and do this? Do the hokey
puck. No, I can't.
All right. We're out, bud.
All right.